You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is Wednesday, the 21st. The 24th of September, 2025.
Come on, Alba.
It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is.
Pump day.
That's right. Must be the change of weather or something. I don't know. Little cloudy skies here at the world headquarters of Civic Media downtown Madison, at the intersection of State Street and Fairchild. Glad to have you along with us, Zommers. I know I'm caffeinated today because you, me, and the wonderful and talented Luke Mathers, we had some coffee earlier. I'm not sure
what it is. Yeah, we just got you some caffeine.
Yes, I should be more into the show is only going to get better from here. Coming up a little bit later in hour number two, your chance to win in Civic Media's green and gold text to win contest. I've already messed it up. Also, what's worse, big cars or little cars? We'll discuss that. But first on Wednesdays, as we do every Wednesday, joining us from the Tony suburbs of our nation's capital, the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, wow. Trigby Olson, and joining us from Lake Wissota, the leading Democratic candidate for the 7th Congressional District of Wisconsin, Pat Kreitlow.
No. Now, again, based on everything that has happened over the last 3 minutes, let's put in the disclaimer, the views expressed by Todd Albaugh do not necessarily reflect reality.
Welcome, guys. But now, seriously, yesterday we happened on the show. We broke the news yesterday. Tom Tiffany, the current incumbent Republican congressman in northern Wisconsin, is going to run for governor of the state of Wisconsin. Pat, you've run for Congress once before. In all seriousness, yes, I have. Would you consider doing this? You're in the district.
If nominated, I will not accept, and if elected, I will not serve. Absolutely not. I've had many good chapters in my life, including that run for Congress in the 7th mm-hmm. District in 2012. But that was, as they say, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And now I get the honor, the privilege, and the relaxing by comparison job of talking about these things and providing encouragement and guidance and information to others along the way.
I respect your decision, but Trigby Olson, you've run a lot of campaigns over the years, and I know we you know, especially you, pick on Pat good naturedly, but let's just for a moment be serious. Former Democrat state senator of northern Wisconsin, longtime media personality, television personality, radio personality. His wife is an OBGYN and a great coif of hair for a candidate. I think this is the type of candidate Democrats should be running, Trigby.
Yeah, reasonable, common sense. He's got the whole package to contrast with Van Odd one. There's no doubt about that.
Well, but he's in the third district,
you got to run in Tiffany's district.
Listen, think about
all the legacy people there are, Pat, like me, who saw you when we were in middle school on WEAU and now get to be on the radio with you.
I thought he'd be nice today. I thought he'd be halfway.
That was your first mistake. Pat would be a fantastic candidate in Wisconsin 7.
Yeah.
All right. So you're saying it's not going to happen, Pat?
I'm not even saying there's a chance. Nope.
All right.
Nope. I don't know why you want to get rid of me like this.
No. We love you. I love having you here. I just, Zommers has something to clip.
Got a voice message from Troy in Mount Horeb.
Oh. Look at that. The people are calling in, Pat.
That's a public outcry. I mean, my goodness.
Troy, here's the one thing I will say.
Thank you. I know. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate that very much. The closest thing that I would say in any form of seriousness, and it's not even that serious, but I often think of how my life might be a little different if instead of choosing to live in Chippewa Falls in Chippewa County in this mostly red area, what if I had chosen to live in Eau Claire when we moved back to this area 30 years ago? And, you know, solidly Democratic area. I mean, who knows what I'd be doing right now. If I weren't in office, what would I be doing right now? I'd be getting set to run against Mr. Van Orden because he is such an embarrassment to Wisconsin, to the state, to the First Amendment, it turned out this week. But up here, I'm very happy where I am on Lake Wasota. I made a good choice.
We're very happy to have you as a part of the network and on a part of the Courier News Service and Up North News. And of course, mornings at Pat Kreitlow. You do a great job. I'm just saying that with all seriousness, as Trigvy said, you're the type of candidate I think could win. I wish the Democrats would nominate more people like you to run. And I think you're a great model.
There's more people like me out there, to be honest.
Right, exactly. Why are there more people like Pat Kreitlow?
And we're a better world for it. So enjoy my one-of-a-kindedness. You know?
We certainly do. All right, let's get to the governor's race. As we said, Tom Tiffany is now in on the Republican side. We covered it earlier this week. And by the way, Pat, Trigvy, and I do not make a Bill Berrien thruple, but Bill Berrien, the Republican candidate, one of the Republican candidates, got himself in some hot water. Great column by Dan Bice and the Journal Sentinel that Mr. Berrien, he does not deny this, subscribes to some, shall we say, adult content on the internet that enjoys a good thruple. And and he claims that, well, they're just coming after me. So things gotten a little spicy on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, we had State Representative Francesca Hong here. Madison get in. There's the latest entry. Pat, what's your latest take a year out from the governor's race in Wisconsin?
I was going to say, from this far out, it's hard to say. Obviously, the Republican side, I think, just got a lot easier. Tom Tiffany has from now until next August to, on the one hand, assure people who vote in the Republican primary that he's their guy. But then he has all this time to figure out, now, after the primary, how do I convince the rest of these folks outside the 7th Congressional District that I'm normal and that I'm not so far to the right you can barely see me on the spectrum? Because that's where Tom Tiffany actually is. He's against women's reproductive choices. He's for, you know, concealed carry weapons everywhere. There's not an open pit mine in northern Wisconsin that he wouldn't support. The list goes on and on. So he is, although he is a congressman, although he will be well-funded, he is in many ways a dream candidate that you want running for governor if you're a Democrat. This guy will be very easy to paint in the extreme ways that he is, up to and including going along with Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the presidential election, to overthrow the results, to ignore the will of the voters. He voted to reject Electoral College votes even after the riots of January 6th. Mm-hmm. They came back to the Capitol, and he was still willing to go along with that Donald Trump coup. So for so many reasons, welcome to the race. And I can't wait to see what you do for employment after November of 2026, because it will not be governor.
Trigvy Olson, former Republican like myself, a River Falls boy, has run campaigns here in Wisconsin, but of course has run national elections, help run them for people like John McCain and others. Trigvy, from a national perspective, Wisconsin continues to be the fulcrum point for politics. Nationally, how is this race being seen this far out?
Wisconsin is always on everybody's radar screen because it's the ultimate purple state. I think right now, you know, most national people are just sort of taking the temperature of how the two fields are going to shake out. The Democrats seem to be adding candidates pretty much regularly. The Republican field really, as Pat likes to point out, is about a race to get the nomination of one from outside the state of Wisconsin. I think Pat's point about Tiffany, though, what Tiffany may find out is the entire state of Wisconsin is not the 7th Congressional District in terms of how its politics look
right
at all. And you know, Tiffany's candidacy, if he ultimately is the nominee, he's not Tommy Thompson, you know. I would argue, and Scott Walker was not a particular, Scott Walker certainly wasn't the candidate that Tommy Thompson was in terms of politics and campaigning. I don't think Tom Tiffany's campaign skills are Scott Walker's good either. So there's the real potential that he makes Tim Michaels look like Ronald Reagan or John Kennedy.
And if I may, an example that has just come up in the last few minutes, Matt Smith over at WISN-TV has interviewed Congressman Tiffany for the Upfront program coming this next weekend, has already released an excerpt of it. And again, Tom Tiffany, who is as far to the right extremist on abortion rights as they come, it's fun to watch him tap dancing on this, where he says about current law versus a 6-week ban that he has supported in the past on abortion. His quote is, "I'd have to evaluate it, but it's not my goal to change anything." Well, that puts that to bed. There's no way Tom Tiffany will sign a bill if it's put in front of him to instill a 6-week abortion ban in the state of Wisconsin. That's sarcasm.
Let's go to the phones very quickly. Matt in Madison calling, listening on WMDX. Matt, you had a question regarding Democratic messaging. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you're doing. This is kind of for all of you. What I kind of see big picture-wise with MAGA, the people that are behind Trump financially and whatnot, the tech bros, they're kind of I think they see progress that China and other countries are making that are beating us now in certain ways. And instead of competing with that or trying to become a 21st century economy and system, they're trying to regress back to some magical time when maybe a few people had everything and they had more control, but it's all about control. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if a good message for those of us that don't want that is to kind of decentralize as much as possible and push local economics, locally sourced economies, working with border states.
Appreciate.
Because I feel that the totalitarianism, the dystopia that we don't want, is more about centralized power, everything coming top down, all the economic decisions, so on and so forth.
Right. Appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you very much, Pat.
Do you get the inference of the question there? Is what he's essentially saying, what I'm getting out of that, is Republicans, this is no longer Ronald Reagan's party that warned you about big government. When he's warning of totalitarianism at the Trump level, he's saying what we've been saying now for months. They want to be big government. They want to control everything. They want to control who the talk show hosts are. It's gotten to that level. And, of course, the trampling of rights that they used to always be the ones to warn us about. They warned us about big government becoming big brother. That's exactly what they want to be now.
Trigby, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it isn't really about the messaging. But if you look at the period right after the Industrial Revolution, when people like Rockefeller and Carnegie and all those people made vast sums of money, and you look at what's happened since the tech revolution, right? There's sort of a cycle to this. About 30 years after that happens, those guys try and do everything they can to protect and consolidate their wealth through government, right? Because they're worried about competition. And that's really what we're seeing right now.
The brains of Pat and Trigby continue on with us here on the other side. Pat, Trigby, and Todd. Three's Company 2.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Bumper music of this calendar year, courtesy of Pat Kreitlow's deep knowledge of Barbara Mandrell's playlist and Zomer's Speedy Fingers. You Can Eat Crackers in My Bed. That's the name of the song?
That's the name of the song.
Well, name of the song is Crackers.
Oh, Crackers.
Yes. Yeah. the sentiment is there. Yeah. Look, I didn't say country music's come a long way since 1979, 1980.
Well, over the break, for those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, and like, Trigby said that he enjoys a good saltine in bed. Is that true, Trigby?
Well, I usually have my six saltines before I go to bed.
Six.
Sometimes if I'm reading, I'll.
Where did the six saltines come from? Is that like a doctor's prescription or?
You know what? The thing is, I was doing that maybe about 6-8 months ago. I was making my pickled herring and cheddar cheese on saltines before bed. And I thought, oh my God, I have become my old man.
Literally, yes. You are like Fred the Geico Olson. Commercial becoming your parents.
Somewhere he's looking down on me and he's just like, oh man, this is good.
I'm just imagining the doctor going, well, you're losing your blandness. So I'm going to prescribe you some saltines here. So.
All right. yeah. Enough of three crackers talking about old man problems. Let's go to politics quickly. And Pat, you've been doing a great job on mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9, holding Republican Congressman in the 3rd District, Derek Van Orten, accountable. I do want to play this. And yes, it was put out by the NRCC, but it's a real clip very quickly of the Democratic-endorsed candidate Rebecca Cook at a town hall meeting speaking about who she – the question. Question was, who do you support in the New York City mayor's race?
Hypothetical question for you. If you lived in New York City right now, who would you be supporting for mayor?
Mandan.
Yeah.
And then the applause goes from there. So Democratic.
What did she say?
Mondami.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zohran Mondami, the Democrat who is facing. The other, is Cuomo still in this thing?
Well,
I don't
Cuomo
know.
Cuomo is apparently still in this thing.
My point is that I just think it's Trigvi has is 7 rules for dealing with authoritarianism, and one of them is don't give your opponents battering rams with which to beat you. And Pat, I just think the answer is, look, I'm not running for New York City mayor. I'm running for 3rd Congressional District. I'm a lot more interested in what the mayor of La Crosse has to say or Mayor Todd Copperdall of Richland Center than anything else. And why would you put that out there? I mean, even like Hakeem Jeffries isn't even endorsing this guy.
I know, which is funny because, I mean, that's the guy that I would support, but I'm not running for anything right now. And if I were running in a district like that and I simply didn't want it to be an issue – I mean, I don't know how she would phrase it, but in my cranky old mannedness, I would just simply say about the New York's mayor's race, don't know, don't care. You know, there's too much to do here, you know.
Trigvi, again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but just messaging, it's just why?
I don't know. It's not smart. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
No, I know. Like, I get frustrated.
There's a real easy way to answer that. I care about who's the mayor of Toma, not who's the mayor of New York. I care who's the mayor of Holman, not the mayor of New York. I mean, literally, she wrote an attack ad.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, for the people who care. I don't think the whole thing has legs overall, but. You know,
I think it'll come back in the general and people will say, oh, my gosh. Anyway, let's not spend too much time on that. I want to one thing has gone underreported. I have not spent enough time talking about this. The government going to shut down in less than a week unless something can be done out in Washington, D.C. Pat Kreitlow. Once again, we find ourselves at a crossroad. And if they can't pass this these spending bills, this budget in D.C., people in Wisconsin are going to be hurt.
They will be hurt. A shutdown always hurts people, and Donald Trump is counting on that and counting on Democrats to cave, to say, okay, well, we don't want people hurting. But here's the thing. People are going to be hurting anyway because of the big bloated boondoggle that they passed earlier this year. So now that Democrats have a little bit of leverage because Republicans can't get their act together and pass a budget by themselves, they got to have some Democratic votes. Democrats are saying, hey, we got a little leverage. You got to put some of these healthcare cuts back. And Donald Trump, to his credit, put that in quotation marks, he's now owning the shutdown. He posted something today or late yesterday, I forget what, and it's all about him. I'm not talking to the Democrats. You know, he basically is cheerleading for the shutdown. And he's got such a short memory of how the shutdown during his first term completely blew up in his face. He is constantly the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons when it comes to this kind of thing. Go ahead and do it again. But at some point, he's going to say something where he claims victory, but some of those health care cuts are going to be restored.
90 seconds, Trigvi.
The shutdown, I mean, I hate to say this, but I think the Democrats will blink. That's where I think it's going to go.
That's fair. I'm not going to fault you for saying that. It's happened enough times.
I
just
think they will.
Yeah.
I mean, I have zero confidence that they're going to take it to the mat.
Yeah. Now, there's no Joe Manchin. There's no Kyrsten Sinema. So I don't know who would play those roles this time. I'm not saying there's – I don't think Schumer can do it this time around. I think that there was just way too much grief from the last time. So if Democrats cave, it's going to be a handful of Joe Manchin wannabes. And at that point, I'm just going to crawl under a rock.
Well, don't do that, Pat. We don't. We want to hear you, you know. I think it just gets frustrating for the average Wisconsinite that says, hey, my son, my daughter, my spouse is in the military. They need to get paid. I don't care what those people do in D.C., but I got bills to pay back here in Wisconsin. It's people trying to get their Social Security payments.
Oh, Trump, Todd.
So Trump, Mr. Art of the Deal, craft a deal. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah. Where's the deal? Pat, 30 seconds. What's on tomorrow morning's edition?
Here. Right there in beautiful Madison, and looking forward to seeing everybody and, I don't know, maybe asking for a raise.
Ask for more from me,
too. I might have guessed, too, but, I mean, I'm going to be down there. I may as well get something done.
I love it. Pat Kraitlow tomorrow from 6 until 9. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. Come on back with Trinity and I after this Pacific Media Arena. Water skiing on the St. Croix River, even in autumn. Catch him in his board shorts when he's back in Wisconsin. He is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a owner of the Green Bay Packers of beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, and joins us from Washington, D.C., Trivi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Were you ever a water skier back in your day? Did you water ski? I knew you were.
Shell Lake.
By the way, thank you for Trigby made a surprise guest appearance last week on Friday when we had Bill McCoshin here talking about the Janesville Jets. I appreciate you doing it for
Billy.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so much respect for Bill and what he's done for the hockey community in the state of Wisconsin. It was really great to get to talk to him.
Yeah, it really was.
Super guy.
Appreciate you coming on.
Great person.
And, you know, just proves that we cannot not always agree politically, but still agree that great things can be done together for our youth and for the state of Wisconsin. So thanks to Bill. Thanks to you.
Probably. I mean, here's the thing with Bill, right? Where you disagree, you find common ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tim Cullen would speak to that.
Yeah.
If you were still around to speak.
Yeah.
But he did speak to it. I mean.
On this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill's a guy who wears green and gold, man. Not red or blue.
Absolutely. Barb and Deerfield.
Or blaze orange come the season.
Exactly. Barb and Deerfield listening in on the program. Wanted to talk about earlier, we talked about Congressman Tom Tiffany, Republican of Wisconsin, getting in the gubernatorial race. Barb, thanks for listening in. What do you want to say?
Thanks. Hi. Yeah, I heard him on your show yesterday, and I was a bit incensed. Did you hear him when he said that schools in Wisconsin are, you know, failing and were as bad as Mississippi? And he stressed that, and I could not help but be incensed about it. I'm a retired teacher. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he help Act 10?
Oh, yes.
Pass.
Yes.
And, you know, and, of course, the result of that, as you know, was, you know, demoralizing, demonizing teachers and making the whole thing very shaky. So, oh, my gosh, how could he?
No, I appreciate calling. But first, Barb, I come from a family of educators, and so thank you for what you've done and for teaching young people. Really appreciate that. And you're absolutely right. He gets it wrong. And Trigby, we've talked about this on this show. It's difficult to vote for someone when what they bring to the table is doom and gloom. I mean, Tommy Thompson, it used to be that Tommy Thompson's Republican would, you know, talk about, you know, and of course, this is a campaign stump speech, but, you know, oh, geez, you know, Democrats get up and they suck on lemons and eat grapefruit for breakfast and go around with a sour look on their face. They're always so down. Isn't it great to be a Republican? And now you get to Barb's point. Now you got guys like Tom Tiffany going around the state saying, oh, the world is terrible. We're the worst state in the country, like Mississippi, which just isn't true, by the way. And I think it's going to be hard for Wisconsinites to get behind someone who just has a campaign platform of a litany of woes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case. I think the other thing is, and people forget this, you know, as it relates to Tommy, and the what I always think about is what was happening back when I was working in and around that world in the early 90s. And it was like, okay, we got to reform welfare. The first thing Tommy did is went and reached out to people in Milwaukee, or the Milwaukee schools were failing, right? So he went to work with Democrats, Paulie Williams, Gary George. What do you think? What can we do? Right? Reached out across the aisle. If you look at Act 10, for example, and the reality is there were some legitimate issues that needed to be solved, but Scott Walker made the determination, which is not surprising if you were at Badger Boys State, and you know that Scott Walker's been running for governor his entire life, to be somebody, not to do things. but that notwithstanding, instead of reaching out and saying, how do we work together? Instead of reaching out to reasonable people like Tim Cullen and saying, hey, who worked in Tommy's administration? Right. How do we fix these things? Mm-hmm. Reaching out to the teachers union, Morris Andrews, Scott Walker made a conscious decision to go about it and say, I'm going to enrage Democrats and I'll get on Fox News and I can use that to run for president because I've been doing that since Badger Boys State, running for president in the United States. Well, most of us were trying to meet nice girls from the Ripon College, you know, in the lunchroom, which was the more normal thing. I think, for a sophomore, junior in high school, but whatever. So it's that contrast that is key. And Tom Tiffany is going to be a guy who, like Derek Van Orden or some of these others, really isn't about doing things to help the people of the district. They might say that, but what they're really about is the being a congressman, being on Fox News, being at the event at the White House in the paved over Rose Garden, which has got to have a lot of other presidents flipping over in their grave, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's really Tom Tiffany. I don't hear solutions. I don't hear how he's going to work together in a green and gold spirit of Wisconsin. I hear him running to be red team.
Yeah. It's just, like I say, it's a litany of woes. Speaking of a litany of woes, our president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, was at the United Nations building in New York City yesterday for the annual get-together of the UN, and Trump gave a speech. Now, remember last time he was there, he got laughed at. Remember that? When he said, I've accomplished more than any president in history. And the whole room laughed. He looked up and he goes, that wasn't really supposed to be a joke. Now, much more serious tone yesterday. We played some of this. Zomers, let's do the first one where he goes off about the building, and the fact that he claims that he wanted to build it differently. Here's Donald Trump, the president of the United States, before world leaders, and this was his message.
And we have others that we're working on, and you know that. Many years ago, a very successful real estate developer in New York, known as Donald J. Trump, I bid on the renovation and rebuilding of this very United Nations complex. I remember it so well. I said at the time that I would do it for $500 million, rebuilding everything. It would be beautiful. I used to talk about, I'm going to give you marble floors. They're going to give you terrazzo. I'm going to give you the best of everything. You're going to have mahogany walls. They're going to give you plastic.
So he carries on, and this goes on for a long time, this litany of how I could have built the United Nations building better and cheaper. But if that wasn't enough, if that didn't offend people enough, don't worry. Donald Trump said, hold my beer.
You have to end it now. See, I can tell you, I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell. In America, we've taken bold action to swiftly shut down uncontrolled migration.
He looks right at people, the leaders of these countries, and says, your countries are going to hell. Is Sean Thoreau, I believe the Washington Post, put this on X yesterday. Quote, a senior foreign diplomat posted at the UN texted me, quote, this man is stark raving mad. Do Americans not see how embarrassing this is? Unquote. Trigvi, you're a man of the world. Thoughts?
They're laughing at him.
Yeah.
They're laughing at him.
And us.
In particular, and us. And what's really disconcerting about it. Well, there's two camps. There's those who are looking at it really sad those who are our allies, many of whom are thinking about, you know, a litany of presidents who helped build the free world into what it was. Reagan, Roosevelt, Kennedy, all of them, really. And they're looking at this and they're like, oh my God, what has happened? And then you have Xi and Putin and the mullahs in Iran and the North Koreans, and they're just laughing at them. They can't believe their good luck because, quite frankly, it's always about him, and he lives in a it's pretty delusional. And to be honest, Todd, what's scary about the entire thing, it's scary what's happening in the U.S. for a lot of people. But to me, what's really scary is when you start look at how Xi and Putin and these guys are going to respond. They're going to this is how you end up in humanity ends up in catastrophic conflict.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? I mean,
it is because and you're seeing it play out with what the Chinese are doing in and around Taiwan. They're thinking about it. Putin is thinking about, there's drones going into to NATO territory, planes flying into NATO territory. We are in an incredibly precarious position because our allies are unsure of us and our enemies. And I get, for a lot of people living in Beaver Dam or in Tom Tiffany's district or whatever, it's hard for them to grasp this. But, you know, as I've said before, if Vladimir Putin could be doing in Beaver Dam or Superior or whatever, what he's doing in Ukraine, he would be. And the potential for miscalculation with somebody who is as volatile as Donald Trump, and the chaos that and the disruption that some of his backers think, oh, we're disruptors. You know, Elon Musk, I'm a disruptor. What do you want to disrupt? Peace and prosperity in a world of nuclear weapons? Is that really something you want to disrupt?
We're talking with Trygve Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. If you're new to the show, Trygve has fought authoritarianism, particularly in Eastern Europe. Happens to be, this is real, only person that I know who is banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself because of speaking out through his work with John McCain and on his own. So, I mean, that's why I always appreciate your perspective, even though sometimes, quite frankly, it unnerves me because I know that you've seen this stuff firsthand. And as we said earlier, you have the 7 rules for dealing with authoritarianism based on dealing with authoritarianism. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly up to Eau Claire, WCFW, the TAP Gene. And Eau Claire, Gene, what do you got?
Hi, guys. Great show, as usual. And thank you, Trygve. This is, I was watching it live, and the way he was insulting everybody there, and the way he was talking in his sing-song way, and having delusions of grandeur and promoting himself and saying, you know, how great he was. This is alarming. I mean, psychiatrists and psychologists and therapists and people who make diagnosis, I'm sure, were thinking, oh, my God, we're in big trouble. And the people around him, those senators and congressmen and his advisors, they're doing us a big disservice here by letting this continue because this is really destructive to our country and to the world. So thank you, Trygve, for saying that. Really appreciate it. Keep up the great work, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Gene. Really appreciate it. Trygve, you have 1 minute left.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. This is the irony of it, too. Have you seen all the postmortem? You know, like they know they stepped in it. So now it's about an escalator making it so the teleprompter didn't work. But that actually kind of makes it worse because the reality is that what he was up there unscripted. He was saying who he is and what he really thinks.
Yeah.
It's just incredibly, incredibly naive, dangerous, and quite frankly, in some cases, just batshit.
Yeah, sorry. That crap crazy.
That crap crazy.
It is. We'll keep an eye on it and continue to report on it. When we come back, Dr. Oz peddling from the White House. And also, We'll hear from the owner of the Green Bay Packers. How can you lose to the Cleveland Browns? Trey will tell us how after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Almost Show on Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tellable Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Hour number two, goal for the green and gold text to win contest coming up in hour two. We'll give you the secret word next hour. Coming up also, a what's worse for you. And more, we'll talk about Jimmy Kimmel. Coming back last night as well. I know Jane and Greg talked about it on their show. We'll talk a little bit more about it hour two here. Then Keegan Kelly from Crack.com, great entertainment reporter, going to talk to us a little bit about on his take on Kimmel coming back last night on ABC and what it means for free speech, entertainment, and late night moving forward. Right now we're joined by senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, River Falls native, hockey dad extraordinaire, and owner of a robotic vacuum, Trigvi Olson, joins us from Washington, D.C.
Owner of a robotic vacuum. Lots of people own robotic vacuums.
But do they name theirs? Yours is named.
I think you have to name it. I don't know. We named ours Cookie.
I can't remember what my friends named theirs, but the name that's sticking in my head is Ezekiel.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think I told this story before, but I there was a time I drove Uber for about a year. Great experience, by the way. And I was doing I was picking up kids down, UW kids. And I always took kids. I love taking people to the bar, but I quit driving before bar time. I don't want to barf into my truck. So I picked up this, I don't know what he was, 21 probably, year-old guy and his girlfriend. And they got in, really fun couple, and he goes, dude, sweet ride, you know, Dodge Ram Uber. He goes, what's her name? And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, you didn't name her, dude. You got a name? Like, I name everything, like my cactus in the home. Like, I name everything. So, you know, Trigvi named his vacuum Cookie.
So you want to know something funny, Todd?
Sure.
So as you know, I've been working on this project.
Yes. That we can't talk about yet.
I can't talk about it yet, but I built this tool and I'm going down to Dallas with my daughters to see the Packers play. And it just so happens our lawyers are down in Dallas, like the IP lawyers and whatever. And they've been kind of using the tool. And so we built out a full prototype of what it can be. And I'm going to show it to them and they're going to give feedback and whatever. And I had to name it. The guy who's working for me, he's out in Seattle, but he's a Packer fan too, because his parents are Wisconsin people, good friends of mine from long ago. Anyway, so we had to name it. He's like, what should we call it? And I said, let's call it the Micah Parsons Project. So I'm going down there and I'm going to have eight partners from this big time law firm and they're all excited to see it. And it opens with the thing calling it the Micah Parsons Project.
Is that going to help you in Dallas or hurt you?
I think they'll think it's funny. I mean, these are first-rate lawyers. They're used to sticking the knife in people, so I'm pretty sure. They're also huge Cowboy fans, so I think I'm going to be tailgating with them. They might poison my barbecue or my Lone Star beer, and Ula and Kyle will have to watch me go down.
Don't say that, good God.
No, they won't do that.
We got to get to Mark real quick in the phone line. But first, I mean, Trigvi, is this just an anomaly losing the Browns last week? Are we going to be okay? Tell me we're going to be okay as an owner of the Packers.
I think we're going to be fine. I mean, you know, listen, our defense is really good. I did not realize that Cleveland's defense was that good.
They're good.
Like their front four, man, is like, they look like the 85 Bears. Right. It didn't help that Zach Tom went down either. But I think they're legit. Hey, here's the more important thing. And I didn't happen to catch it. Man, the Badgers have got problems. And
major.
You got to think that McIntosh and the coach are. Yeah. But it's going to cost them so much money to get rid of them. You wonder if it's McIntosh whose head's going to go on the block.
Yeah, we talked about it for a half hour plus yesterday. And yeah, the Badgers have. I mean, I jokingly said at the start of this season, because the over-under on Badger wins was 5.5. I took the under. And I said, I predicted McIntosh, the AD, athletic director, and Fickell, the head coach, would be gone by the end of the year, and Chancellor Mnookin would tab former head coach and athletic director Barry Alvarez to coach the team last game of the season in Minnesota to get the axe away from the Gophers. I was only half joking, but that may be much closer to being reality than I thought. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Mark, you got about a minute. If you can get it in, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I actually knew Bill McCosh's sister in high school. I think she was a year behind me.
Oh, Marianne?
Maureen, yeah. She was a sweetheart.
She was.
You should be playing for the bumper music for him. You should be playing with the Ballad of Billy Joe and Bobby Sue, because Billy Mack was a detective down in Texas. But, I mean, for little Mr. Tiffany, I mean, the treason he committed against the state of Wisconsin and not certifying that election and not condemning the insurrection and actually not condemning the pardon of the insurrectionist is just unforgivable. It's completely unpardonable. Mm-hmm. And, that I hope he, comes in, and I hope he gets his head served to him when he comes in for the election.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thanks, brother.
Yep, thank you.
I think they got to get, they got to force him to be, they need to be, really, we got to be careful about that. They need to be forcing him to, though, I wouldn't spend a lot of time forcing him to talk about that. I would spend a lot of time forcing him to talk about free speech. I would make him spend a lot of time talking about public schools and where and how he feels. I would really try and force him into conversations about specifics and what makes Wisconsin great, because he is going to struggle talking about that in an articulate way that resonates with the people he needs to resonate with to win.
Yeah, totally agree. Trigvi, always a pleasure. Always feel better after talking to you. Hope you have a good flight down to Dallas. Tell them with the Micah Parsons Project. That's fantastic.
I will have a good time. Todd, you need to circle back on me. I've got the answer for you to the question that you posed to me earlier. So if you reach back out to me after, we'll get it taken care
absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. After the show, as they say. Come on back. We'll talk a little bit about shows. Jimmy Kimmel was back on the air last night. And your chance to win in the Green and Gold Text to Win contest after this on the Civic Media. Ready to...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.